It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 50 years ago, in 1965, a young businessman helped to found Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh. Since then, the organization has been providing mentorship and support to children needing companionship, help, and guidance. Today, we're marking the 50th anniversary of Big Brothers Big Sisters in Pittsburgh. I'm joined now in studio by Jan Glick, CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh. Jan Glick, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
Also joining us, Jimmy Ross, whose father, Kenny, launched the organization in Pittsburgh. Jimmy Ross, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Paul.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh. Jimmy, I understand that your father, Kenny Ross, years earlier had run into a little trouble growing up in Philadelphia, and he was given the choice to join Big Brothers Big Sisters. And I'm interested in hearing about how his experience with Big Brothers Big Sisters led him to start the agency in Pittsburgh. So let's begin with just the formative years and how he ends up getting involved in this program.
Sure. Thanks, Paul. I'm very proud of my father. When he was young, he made some bad choices, like many young people do. But
Can you get into a little of the detail of what happened?
He rarely attended school, and during the day got in a lot of trouble with the people he would hang out with and the things he was doing. And he was he had a choice at that point in the time. He could either go to juvenile court or join the Big Brothers program in Philadelphia, where he was born, where he was living. Fortunately for him, and with the guidance of my grandparents, he was able to go to the Big Brothers program and receive a mentor who guided him along the way and actually gave him the guidance to leave the friends he had, leave the time out of school and on the streets, and to really focus on his own life. Following that and shortly thereafter, he went into the Navy. And after his successful tour in the Navy, came out, went into business in Philadelphia, and shortly thereafter moved to Pittsburgh. And being in Pittsburgh, it was probably here 12 years, and he realized that Big Brothers, and he's told me this many times before, he gives Big Brothers credit for saving his life. And to that degree, he felt that there was a need for it in Pittsburgh because there was not a Pittsburgh chapter. So he was able to gather several business leaders locally and provide Pittsburgh with its own chapter.
And was he seeing some of the similar problems that he experienced in Philadelphia happening to children here? Were there things that he was witnessing where kids were basically falling through the cracks and getting into trouble and not being led into a positive direction, or at least being given the kind of choices that he was given to take stock of his life and to choose a path?
I'm sure that's the case, Paul. And his business was in the inner city, and he saw a lot of the kids probably getting into trouble, just like he was. And I'm sure he identified with that and felt that he wished he could find some way to help each child. And his experience was to have a mentor and to do it one at a time, one child at a time with a mentor. Pittsburgh didn't have the program, and that was his desire to do so. In the very beginning, the Big Brothers office was inside the business where his dealership was, and the people worked right alongside one another, so he was pretty much hands-on with Big Brothers all the time. Shortly thereafter, the agency became so successful they had to move into their own space, but they actually started in the business.
Now, this was 50 years ago, and when your father was growing up, and when he's just a kid, so this is several years before he establishes the business. So why was it that Philadelphia had this and Pittsburgh didn't? Do we know that, why that is?
I don't know that.
I think Big Brothers nationally started over 100 years ago. The Philly chapter is 100 years old. Right now we have in the network about 387 agencies, and we're all have started. There's some that are 75. We're one of the oldest at 50. So I think as it became as the power of mentoring and the kinds of outcomes that people in Philadelphia were realizing, and that word was communicated, people realized that this is something that was needed in other places, not just in the larger cities like Philly and New York.
It's interesting to think, though, that Philadelphia has had a Big Brother, Big Sister organization for a century, and twice as long as we've had it.
They're celebrating 100 at the same time we're celebrating 50.
Amazing. You can only imagine what it would have been like if Pittsburgh had had the same thing at the same time that Philadelphia started their organization. We would be interested in hearing from folks who've been involved with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. What have your experiences been like? Who do you know that's been helped by this program? Share your stories with us as we look at the 50th anniversary of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh. On this program, we're going to be talking about it for the entire hour. You can participate at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. You can reach us on email at ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Surely the agency has grown significantly over just these past five decades. So, Jimmy and Jan, what about the evolution of Big Brothers, Big Sisters over the past 50 years? Talk about how one of the things you mentioned, Jimmy, was that the organization started in your father's business, which I think a lot of people in Pittsburgh are there's a lot of visibility for Kenny Ross in Pittsburgh and deservedly so. So as Big Brothers, Big Sisters has grown and moved off of campus, if you will, with Kenny Ross, how has the organization evolved, and what are some of the other programs and developments that have taken place in these last five decades, Jan?
Well, I will say that the mission of Big Brothers is it's one-to-one mentoring, one adult with one child. But our expansion has not only been in the number of children that we serve. This year, we're on target to serve 100 more children than last year. We'll be at almost 1,500 children throughout Allegheny, Washington, and Greene counties, the majority being in Allegheny. But we have also three programs now. We have our community-based program, which is the program that Kenny and his friends were able to start, which is the one-to-one mentoring. It is a big brother or big sister actually picking up a child at their home and doing an activity in the community. It's about minimum of 3 to 5 hours twice a month. And spending that time and helping a child make good choices, talk about life and staying in school and all the things that are so important to become a productive citizen. We also have two other programs. One is our site-based program, and that's where the big actually goes to a school or an after-school site and spends an hour a week with the student. And they follow those students through multiple grades. And so they develop the relationship that way. And now we have a brand new program, which is at Brashear High School, called Mentor 2.0. And that begins with ninth graders and follows them all the way through the end of high school. The idea of that program is to really talk about the non-cognitive skills that you don't learn in school, so that not only do you go on to college or trade school, but that you stay and that you finish and that you, at the end of the day, have a career. And that you stay in Pittsburgh, which is what we hope for all our young people.
Is there more of a need for a program like this than there might have been? I mean, surely we had, of course, even in prior to 1965, when the organization was started here, when your father Jimmy was involved in the organization, there were street gangs. There were problems with juvenile delinquents and kids being led down the wrong path. But when you look at what's happening today with families having both parents working and, more the divorce rate being higher and more, broken families, is there more of a need for this now?
I would... Go ahead, Jen.
I would say that families are more fragmented than they used to be. And so you used to live, if you look at Pittsburgh, we have neighborhoods, right? You live next door to your grandmother or your aunt or your brothers and sisters. That's not as true anymore. And it's a much different time in that the world is at it sounds like a cliche, but at a very fast pace. And schools are very different as well. And so they're not neighborhood schools anymore. There's busing, and you might go to a magnet school that's not even in your neighborhood. So with all the changes, I think that there is more of a need to have this person in your life. My daughter likes to say that there's never enough people around to love our children and have this guide and this person in your life to be there for you and be a significant person throughout your life.
Is there also a need based on the fact that there are less, you know, there's that old saying about it takes a village to raise a child, which makes sense when you think about how certainly traditionally in big cities, people became familiar with one another. Families knew each other in certain neighborhoods, and someone unrelated to you might be watching over you, and you may not even know it. But you know, maybe the guy at the corner store, or some businessman, or just a person, an older person in the neighborhood, just might be looking, watching what the kids are doing, and maybe confronting them about something that their parents may not know is going on, or bringing it to the attention of the parents. In with the way things are now, is there less of that going on? Are we seeing less of a kind of community approach to raising children, less adults paying attention to what the kids are doing, and the kids not having as much respect for the adults as they might have had years ago, that would present more of a pronounced need for a program like this?
I can't speak to that directly, but I could tell you when I was younger, when I would go out to the neighborhood, there would be people in our neighbors would know I was there. If I went to the local stores, they would know I was there, and you really could never get out of touch of someone looking out for you. And I doubt that situation exists today, and I think that's why there's even a greater need for Big Brothers today than there was in the 60s.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with our guests, Jimmy Ross and Jan Glick. Jan Glick is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh. And Jimmy Ross, again, his father Kenny launched the organization in Pittsburgh 50 years ago. We have Betty from Pittsburgh joining us on the line. Betty, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
I've been a big sister for 45 years. And I got my little sister when she was 6, and she's now about 50. And it's been a very positive experience. She's family. And when I first picked her up, her mother was in desperation and offered me all her children. And I said, no, that's not it. You know, I'll be back and support you, but I'm here to pick up the little girl. Anyway, everybody in her family is working. She got her associate degree from a community college. Her daughter is now in college, and they're all very successful. But we went through a lot, you know, positive and, you know, tough times. But the main thing is to be consistent. I was there every week, either a Saturday or Sunday. I'd call her on Friday. Commitment. And we were always very respectful of her mother. And I taught her that, you know, you don't compare. I'm your sister. I'm a big sister. But we listen to your mother's rules.
Well, Betty, when you mentioned some of the tough times, what were some of the things, if you don't mind sharing, that you went through, and how were you able to persevere?
Well, in her adolescence, she was pregnant at a young age, and then she got married very young, and that didn't work out. And then she came back, but we were always in touch the whole time. And then she did very well then later. And she has a very good job now. And it's just staying there. Just keep showing up week after week.
Or
when she was away, it wasn't week after week, but we kept in touch. And we're still in touch.
That's great to hear. When you were going through, when this young lady that you were mentoring went through some of the tough times, perhaps when she was thinking about getting married at a young age, You know, how far can you go with getting involved with giving advice? And, you know, does that sometimes lead to some friction you might have to work through, especially if maybe you're looking at the situation saying, you know, you might want to think about this before you dive into a marriage?
Well, she had already made that decision, and so I just went with it. In fact, I had a I planned their wedding reception and with the mother, and we just went with it, and then it didn't work out, but then because she moved, and then she came back. She moved on to South Carolina. We were all concerned about her, but and she had a baby, and then she came back, and she was fine. I mean, we got through it. I think a lot of it is listening and just being there.
So, Jan, as we listen to Betty here, common tale?
This year we have made a concerted effort to find alumni, and we're hearing stories of people who still have relationships many, many, many years later. I like that she said she was not there to replace the mother, and that's absolutely true. The big brother, big sister, it's not about being Disney daddy, so to speak. It's not about replacing the parent, but it's about being a significant part of their life as an adult who can help them make good choices for their future.
And Betty, we appreciate your sharing that story. You know, she mentioned being the big sister for 45 years. Yeah. Is that common? Do the relationships, do they last a lifetime like that in a lot of cases?
Well, our average match length is well over 4 years. We have one of the highest in the country. And last year we had 19 graduating matches. We have a ceremony every year for those students who are graduating high school, recognizing our volunteers and recognizing the high school students. And those relationships, some of them have lasted 12 years. Those will be lifelong relationships. We have bigs who have their littles in their wedding and are part, as she said, are part of their family. You don't have that kind of a relationship with that kind of intensity that just goes away. They stay, and they're meaningful and they're important.
Most people are familiar with big brothers, big sisters, but can you tell us about the different ways that mentors can volunteer their time in the community, you know, throughout their workplace and at local high schools, either Jan or Jimmy?
So the community is, as I said, the mentors. Well, first of all, you just call our office or go on our website, www.bbbspgh.org, and you'll be able to look at how you can become specifically more involved. But there's the weekly mentoring program that's during the school year. There's the Mentor 2.0 program. Jimmy is actually a big in that program at Brashear High School, so he can speak to that. And then our community-based program, which is that 3 to 5 hours on average twice a month.
We recently addressed the issue of background checks for people working with young children. How does Big Brothers Big Sisters screen applicants for the child's safety?
It's a very long process. I don't want anyone to think that it's easy. So you want to be a big. The very first thing you do is fill out an inquiry application. Then you come into the office and fill out even a more significant application. We do an interview. We do an interview in the home. We ask lots of questions. The interview can be anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours. We want to make sure that this is something that works for your life. We don't want anyone to make a commitment that they can't follow through. The woman on the phone talked about consistency. Consistency is the key. We don't want someone who at the end of the day said, well, my work schedule, or I've decided to go back to school, or my life is just too busy. We want everyone to understand the commitment up front and the time involved up front. So once you go through that pretty extensive interview, you have training. And we have clearances. We have multi-level clearances. We do fingerprinting. We do Act 3334, which is child abuse. We do a driver background check. We can find lots of information out through that. We do references. We have very strict guidelines about DUIs and any arrest records that you may or may not have had. So it's not an easy process, but at the end of the day, child safety is our primary concern. It's the most important aspect, one of the most important aspects of what we do. I'd also like to say that what we do that's very different than most mentoring organizations is we have something that's called match support. And each match is professionally supported for the duration of that match. They are assigned a person who is their guru, so to speak, their support, their for any problems, any concerns, just to talk about the situation. Some of these young people have never don't have children, don't have siblings, and all of a sudden they're mentoring an 8-year-old child. And situations come up. So to be there for them, for the parent, and for the child as well.
Jimmy, in addition to your father, Kenny, your own children are now actively involved in the agency. What's it like to have three generations now of the Ross family actively participating in Big Brothers Big Sisters?
It's something I'm very proud of. It's just tremendous. Big Brothers has meant a lot to me. Through my father, I saw what it meant to him. And my children have felt the same thing. My oldest son, Andrew, is on the board with me in Pittsburgh. My oldest daughter, Katie, is a big sister. And she is a big sister to just a wonderful young girl. And that's been the last year they're starting to work together. I just see great things happening for not just the little sister, but in particular for the big sister, my daughter Katie. It's a wonderful process. My daughter Natalie has worked for the Big Brothers Agency as a social worker, and I have nephews and nieces that have worked in the school program for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and each one of them has their own story to tell, but they're all so appreciative of being able to work with the organization and seeing what it does for the children one-on-one, but it does more for them. They've developed into young adults that can appreciate doing good for other people, and it does good for them as well.
And I guess that a lot of the allure of this is not just that for the bigs, as you say, that they're not just working with children who are in need, but that they have the opportunity to connect with young people who are unique and very special in their own individual ways.
I agree with that. I'll tell you a little bit about what I do. I'm in the Mentor 2.0 program at Brashear. And I finished my first year. We're starting our second year very shortly. I can't wait to get started. It's meant so much to me, more than I ever imagined. I get really excited about it. And we meet once a month for 2 hours, which almost isn't enough. And we communicate through the week via email, and that's not enough. I just really enjoy getting to know this young man. It's inspiring to me, and it's just fabulous. So I would like to say, if anybody's out there who would like to be interested in this program, there's openings. And it's heartwarming to be part of it. It's inspiring. And I'm just so grateful for myself to be part of it that I would invite others to call the agency and to be a big.
And we can relate information about how to get involved as a big brother or big sister by having folks go to our website at WESA.FM, and they can find out more about this on our website. I want to thank both of our guests who have taken part in this conversation with us. Jimmy Ross, again, his father Kenny, launched the organization Big Brothers Big Sisters here in Pittsburgh 50 years ago. In 1965, that's the anniversary we're celebrating today on the program. Also, Jen Glick, who is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh. Thank you both for coming in and being on the program. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up, a conversation about what it's like to have had a Big Brother Big Sister relationship as a kid, then growing up to be a mentor as an adult. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.